Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists. Is Vinny's jokes. And my very special guest joining me today is a longtime friend of the show from way back in the day, back in the golden era of the internet, back when you remember this, maybe some of you do, maybe some of you don't even, you're too new. You could search anything on YouTube and you could just find it and it was easy and you could broadcast about anything without fear or favor and people were able to listen to it. It was amazing times. These are dark times now, and that's why we've got Stelios back. Come on, the Greek. Welcome back to the show.
Yes, I go by the Greek. Thank you, Vinny. It's been a very long time, and it's been many years, just more than you have fingers on both hands, actually. So, yeah, let's get it started. I mean, there's so much we could talk about, and where do you want to go?
Well, the question is, what have you been actually up to? Because you were telling me before about how you've got a new platform and a new subscription-only service. But for those who are unfamiliar, please tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Oh, sure. Okay, well, what I'm doing with the presence on the internet is revived an old project called Ocelli and the Greek, and you find it on ocelli.com. And it's called Ocelli and the Greek Rated Y, and it is restricted. It is only a members only. We've done many stuff over the years. It used to be on YouTube playlist, Ocelli and the Greek, 40 hours of Sonic events. Like people say, let's do a show. I don't do shows because I got nothing to show for it. But anyway, I call it a Sonic event. And basically, it was essentially Each Sonic event was essentially like getting a four-year college degree on the subject, and it was so easy to garner all the information by just seeing how much is put out, really disclosed in front of us that no one's really talking about. So it's really an exercise in perception and discernment.
Which, in this day and age, seems like an exercise in futility. I remember we had this discussion a while ago about how you weren't ready to do this because people just weren't ready for it.
Yes, and you know what? They're still not ready for it, but the time is better. Mm. You know, like you get on, get on the internet. I'm like, put that internet down. You don't know where it's been, right? it's really the 5 foot radius around you that you have to look at. Here, I like to do this. This is Greek speak, real basic Greek speak, and many people call it Greek speak. So this is a secret. So, you know, everybody cover their ears, right? You notice when you heat or cool a room, how the heat rises and goes to the ceiling and the cold goes to the floor, whether you're heating or cooling, right?
Yeah.
But here's the secret. You know, when it's hot down in the valley, you go up to the mountain. Well, it should be getting hotter, shouldn't it? But it doesn't. It gets colder. Here, if you call a medical technician and you said, my head is hot, my feet are cold, well, you're not feeling well, are you? Well, I thought heat's supposed to rise and cold is supposed to descend. Yeah, it does when it's artificial and destructive. But in all natural living biological systems, you have a rarefied rising heat and a densifying rarefied rising cold and a densifying heat that descends, right? You want to walk around with a cool head and warm feet. So this is something that in itself opens up an entire avenue into what are we being told? What are we accepting? I used to call the university physicists and engineers and say, how many calls have you gotten today from the general public demanding that you build devices for their homes, boats, planes, whatever, for heating and cooling that makes a rarefied rising cold and a descending heat? And they're like, I never heard of that myself. Well, what is there to hear about? It's being demonstrated constantly, you see. So this is just one simple way to just see what are we really seeing, you know? You know what it is, really? Like I said, put that internet down. You don't know where it's been, right? That is more the case now than ever. And it's going to get to the point where if it gets so restricted, it'll be too obvious and you'll have a clamor against that. So the easiest way to fix that is to shut it down for a little while and blame it on, I don't know, what do you think they should blame it on, Vinny? Your guess is as good as mine.
I reckon we should just blame it on climate change. You know, it's just the classic go-to. I mean, at the moment, we're in the middle of an alleged cyclone, okay? And it's, you know, it doesn't look like a nice day out there, I'll tell you, but it's not like one of those scary tropical storms. I mean, our city got flooded like just less than 2 weeks ago, and there were no warnings on that. But ever since then, every time we've had even just a little bit of rain or a little bit of wind, everybody's now getting these emergency text message notifications. Like real loud, real scary, like 6 o'clock in the morning. There's gonna be some bright red frickin' rain coming. Oh my god, you gotta prepare, you gotta, like, you know, and people are like emptying the supermarkets out and everywhere, all over their social media, clamoring and crazy about it and stuff like that. And I'm like, am I the only one who sees that geoengineering is the real problem here?
Well, you know, we talk about weather. I say weather or not, I'd say the majority of the weather is easily manipulated. I used to work before he passed away with someone called Trevor James Constable, who did a lot of the ether work with Wilhelm Reich and all that. Actually, not with Wilhelm Reich, but studied that. So I just basically started telling people, you know, if you take a tube, basically a metal tube like a stovepipe, put it in water on one end and wave it around, you'll see the clouds disappear. Right, and if you aim it downwind of you, they'll get really bad rain, and it gets dry behind you. So for about 15 years now, I've been showing people how to do weather modification just basically by waving a metal tube around. I mean, it's actually more technical than that. But it's just like saying your computer is just a jumble of wires, right? It's not. It's actually very well organized. So we've done a lot of experimentation and demonstrations over the years on how we can affect local and, you know, pretty well, it depends if you're flat or round, how far you want to go, how it can be affected. So we're just a bunch of guys running around, barely know what we're doing. Could you imagine what else is available to those that are not talking about it, right?
I think it's part of that sort of public consciousness overlay that needs to happen here, where people are schooled in one way and they have that schooling reinforced for a very long period of time in their life, and it's only after a little while that you start to realize that, hey, maybe the stuff I've been told that I think is completely logical, etc., is actually a total fallacy, and that means I have to go back to school again
on your own. Autodidactic is the term, I believe, when you're self-taught. Again, you know what I say about textbooks? Put them down. You don't know where they've been. I used to get very upset back, especially the days we were speaking, because I'd tour the college campus to go to the library, and I'd say, let me take a look at your history book. And I'd go through it, and I'd say, oh, what a bunch of whatever, right? But then as I got older and older, I said, they're actually telling us what it is, or by omitting certain words. When you pick up a regular college or whatever academic history book, it says history on it. You go through it, and you see all these, most of this didn't happen this way. But why should you not get upset is this reason. It just says history of whatever. It doesn't say the true history, does it?
Guess not.
So, yeah, they left that one word out that makes a big difference, bigger than you'd ever imagine. So what happens is when they leave that word out, you're going to have to wait for the best part to come last. When you see a complete term and it's defining itself, the best part comes first.
Okay.
Getting philosophical here. I don't know. But yeah, we could go down that road. But I've noticed RBN, the format here, is pretty much a people seeking freedom, a platform where people like to talk about things where they can't in other places. Yeah?
Ideally.
And ideally, right. And one thing I've noticed that many of the things that I hear people discussing, they can also find their solution within the actual context of the problem itself. And I can give many, many examples. If you want to free ride that one, pick a topic, we could get into it.
Go on. Well, I mean,
okay.
If we're talking about a topic of things, I mean, getting around censorship. And I think also, it's the deplatforming, the demonetization, the drying up of revenue for anybody who wants to make a living by telling the truth and doing the right thing, as opposed to people who want to make a living by lying and selling crap.
Yeah, right. You know what I noticed? They call them the elite. I think they had them in your introduction somehow indirectly. Think of it as a horse race. It's not them or us, or they're up there and we're down here or whatever. You ever watch a horse race? The guy in last place, he's still looking forward and beating his horse as hard as the guy in first place, right? They're not in the middle saying, hey, why am I back here? How did you get up in that place, right? No, everyone is riding in that horse race as if they're running it by themselves. Watch a horse race next time. They're not looking around. So what I suggest, and I have been suggesting to people, once you start picking up on the clues, and the reason I say that is because a clue is like a hint. Right. The way people react to information could be two ways. One is you outright tell them what they should do. And most people find that kind of affrontish, right? Or you can just give them a hint or a clue. But what if they're not good at taking hints? So there's somewhere in between directly telling them what they could do or should do and giving them a hint. And I've been exploring that a lot recently. And how do you come out and tell people or show them another way? See, but how do you do it in a way where it's not taken as an opinion or a suggestion, but it's something they can grab and act on, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, it's like getting people spurred into action. It greatly depends upon the individual listening, because I said to, you know, somebody says like, what's the point of your show, Vinny? And I go, well, during every broadcast, I hope, maybe, there's one person listening who's heard a story from the guest or heard something from me or whatever that has resonated with them to the point where they actually start to change what they're doing with their life, okay?
Yeah.
But all that benefit from all that change is theirs, and all credit to that change is theirs as well. We didn't force them to do anything. We just told them something they can't unhear, and the action thereby lies with them.
And within a level or concept of community, here's an example. Like, let's say you have a dictatorial situation. By the way, a dictator is not necessarily, again, like true history versus history. You can have a benevolent dictator. Right, so having a dictator is not a bad thing if it's not a bad thing. So we've actually demonized a lot of terms. But in the sense of community, imagine you have, let's say, a malevolent dictator that sends jackbooted thugs or whatever to police you or beat up some people or whatever or enforce certain things, right? Those people are not brought from another planet or another country, typically. They're people within the same society that are convinced that they should do these things for they're actually altruistic benefit, but it's really for a paycheck. So if on an early stage of forming a community, and I don't mean just neighbors that are, you know, physically near you, you make people aware of this reality, meaning we're here for each other, not to really bow down to an authoritative quote-unquote system that provides no evidence for its reasons, you see. So I think a lot of it is basically the concept of communities. If you read about ancient, for example, societies, most typically when they fell, it was because of what? Outside invaders. Right now, we're operating in a system through the entire planet where all of the quote-unquote governments and authorities are in lockstep with each other. You see, there's no change. There's no difference. It's a slight variation. So I think that the local community, and it's a mindset, by the way. For example, you and I could be in the same local community, even though I'm in Tucson, Arizona, you're in New Zealand. You see, this is a much bigger concept than just physical, you see. And I think you hear that term a lot about forming communities. But essentially, if the whole is made up of its parts and the parts don't know what's going on, let's say essentially 5 feet around them or what they come in contact with. For example, if someone turns on the television, that is still part of their 5 foot radius, you see. And if they receive a piece of mail in the post, that's still part. Do they understand what they're reading? Do they understand what they're seeing? And I would beckon to say most people are not aware of the most basic things.
Why do you think that people are so easily programmed? All right.
Because
that's the interesting thing as well, is the brain works in certain ways, and they have all these doctors and researchers and universities trying to figure out how to make the brain work, not so you can free it, not so you can empower it, but so that you can control it, usually without it knowing that it's being controlled.
It's culture. It's what we hear. In a fictional sense, visited another world, and I found that the biggest industry on this other world was bulletproof or Kevlar underwear. And I said, wow, this industry is so big. Why is it? Because they have a culture, in their culture, a tradition where they always place a thumbtack on a chair before someone sits down on it. So to minimize that pain, they invented Kevlar bulletproof underwear, so when you sit on the thumbtack, it prevents it from penetrating into the buttocks, right? So I said, what if we just stop putting thumbtacks on the chairs? Well, the people making the Kevlar underwear are going to get really upset, aren't they? You see the analogy?
Yeah.
So it's basically culture. You know, and mom said, this is, how many times have you run into someone, well, my parents did it this way, whether it's religion or the way you eat, how you eat, who you associate with, your career path, it's from somewhere else. There's a point where these breaks happen. In history, they were called axial periods, which is basically, from a catastrophic viewpoint, society was just stopped by catastrophe. And those that were left over and the dust settled, rebuilt, and hopefully did not carry over some of the older traditions that were not good for them, let's say. So we tend to live in a human mindset that when the society is rebuilt, we typically don't reevaluate what we used to do. We go back and grab them and revisit them again. So that's one of the main things. I've gotten into eschatology very often. You know, what's the Greek going to talk about? Well, the end, of course, right? And one thing that you find out is, you've heard of many things about time. Some say it doesn't exist. Well, for those that say it doesn't exist, it's just the memorialization of change in events. When things change, you record them, that's time. If there's no change, there's no time. But essentially, all of the people that came before us told us that we're in a cycle of roughly 6,000 years or so. In many ways, they've said it, usually day counts or whatever. And at the end of this society that we know will end. And there'll be, let's say, almost a century of dust settling, and then it'll be picked up again, and it won't be anything like this. But what it really depends on, it will be affecting everyone, but the more special individuals, those that are not, let's say, soaked in fear, right? Like, for example, those that have a free mind and have knowledge and are generally good people will not be subject to the calamities of those that are living in fear, for example, right? It's kind of like if someone cries fire in the movie theater when there is none, the people don't think, they just run. But if the one who says, I don't smell any smoke and I don't see anything, I just better remain calm, does a lot better. So essentially, we're in that time period. And if you remember, maybe you do, maybe you don't, just to refresh, 1998 was basically the end of time, and from 1998, roughly 3.5 decades or so, is the credits part of the movie. Just like, for example, you make a two-hour movie, you don't buy exactly 2 hours worth of film. You buy about 2 hours and 10 minutes because you're going to show the credits in the end. So roughly since 1998, we've been running in the credits. And one of my main spiels was between 2018 and 2025 is going to be one of the 7-year periods that's going to prepare us for the next seven-year period that's going to come between 2025 and 2032, which we're going to get into a very ultra-conservative mindset. When I say ultra-conservative, just imagine what religious fundamentalists share, whether, for example, you are a religious fundamentalist in the Christian flavor or the Muslim flavor or whatever. They very much share very same conservative ideals, if you know what I mean, right? This is going to be brought and hoisted upon the world. But before that, you're going to see a lot of chaos and debauchery and loosening of things. By the way, this is all being done by the same people. So when we do switch over in the next few years, you see it a little bit now starting, pushing back against the extra liberal, whatever socialist agendas that you've seen. But it's going to really pick up steam around 2025. And you're going to be living in a very, let's say, ultra-conservative, fundamentalist kind of mindset. You will know that this is coming upon the entire earth when you see a tremendous focus in the Middle East with what's called a revival of a country called Assyria. It's in northern Iraq. So let's say you look in the paper, in the news, and you see there's a civil war in northern Iraq and a new country is formed called the New Assyria. We are on. It's on, bro. It's on. So this is around 2025. So all the things that people are talking about now and all this stuff, I've discussed in the past. Don't worry. I was actually on an interview at the end of, I think it was the end of 2019, beginning of 2020. There was supposedly a lot of, what do they call it, sword, whatever, with when they clang swords with Iran.
Saber rattling?
Saber rattling. Thank you. Yes. It's not going to be a militaristic war. It's going to be biologicals. So this is before 2020, just at the beginning of 2020. So these things are easy to read. Like, for example, if you know about cooking and you walk into a kitchen and someone's got milk and flour and sugar and chocolate chips and the oven's preheated and butter, you know they're going to be making cookies or a chocolate cake or something, right? You're not going to be totally clueless because you know about cooking. So pretty much what I've been doing is running pretty even keel because I've pretty much seen many of the hints and things that are coming, and they're all on time. And these things are on a multiple decade, let's say, scenario. It's not like how many times have we heard, well, the world's ending in September so-and-so, 2016, right? We're still here. It doesn't work that way at all. So this is part of my main dictate, is to just stay calm. What is it? Remain calm. Keep increasing your own influence on yourself first, right? Here's the thing. I harken back to a lot of the ancient texts, and we live in sort of a monotheistic kind of thing where you hear about G-O-D a lot. I always say if you read any of the ancient texts, there are many gods. Well, so what, Greek? But you know what you'll find out? It's contrary to what people say. There are many gods, but you know what? There's only one of you. You see?
Mm.
So, right, it's very different. Where it's all reversed now, it's many of us and one God. It's not like that at all. So it's no matter what you find out about anything, even if you think there's just one God, guess what? There's only one of you. So let's start with that one of you first. And really, like I said earlier, with the secret about the natural cold rising and the natural heat descending, opposite of when you burn a fire, the heat rises, or when you have an electric stove, the heat rises, because that is a product of decomposition. When you throw something in the fire, are you building it up or breaking it down? You see? So whenever things are being built up, the cold rises and the heat descends, just like in your body, right? You should have a cool head and warm feet. So this is basically one of the basic things. The other thing is communication. I always found out when I gave proprietary or rarefied information to people, it was like giving people fish. They just walked away and said, patted me on the back, good boy, you're very smart. My intention always was to find people that were good at communicating so they could communicate it to others, right?
Yeah. The waterfall starts from one drop of water.
Right. But if it just goes into a bucket and stays there and evaporates, it's not going to get out. The other thing I say about that, the thing about communicating, like this, they're doing this, what should we do? I said, absolutely nothing. To the point where the silence and inaction is deafening. I think I was on an interview quite a few years ago with Freeman or something, and it was he got me on when the Trump election happened, and there was a lot of whoop-de-do here and all over the world, by the way. I basically said, well, what you do about voting is if no one showed up at all, those government buildings would be emptied out within a few days because they'll all look at themselves as no one showed up to vote. That means they found out what it's about. We better run right now while we still can. You see?
Of course, that'll never happen because there'll always be one person who's stupid enough and then he'll vote and then the party that he right. votes for will get 100% of the votes.
You got it right. Yeah, you got it exactly right. I'm so glad you said that because this type of stuff is all or nothing. Right, it's all or nothing, really. It's really, or let's say, even if the great majority, I think a lot of social statisticians and engineers says it only takes 2 or 5% of the population to change the entire population. Yes, well, that depends on their ability to manipulate the rest. You see,
In the United States Revolution, I think there was about 176 thought leaders. Like they were actually these people. These were the guys who were convincing everybody around the country in their own various ways to stand up against the crown. And the population that they got behind them to actually fight, like 24 hours a day, this is an actual fight, was about 3 to 5%. Now, the back end of that was people they didn't convince to fight, but people who they convinced to support the cause, which was about, I think, 14-15% of the population. So that means that one in five people knew, absolutely knew, and were willing to do something about what was wrong with their country, and that information got to them through the works of and thoughts primarily of less than 200 guys.
Right. Well, if you put those 200 guys in an open field, you barely see them, you know, amongst the millions of people that were here. Good point. But the interesting thing about the American Revolution, it was the revolution that really wasn't, but it's known as one because it was a big change. It was basically about getting rid of monarchies around that time period from the middle of the 18th century to the middle of the 19th century was about removing the influence of monarchies. Essentially, when you look at all the stories by going back to periodicals of the time, which as you might guess, as time goes on, there are fewer and fewer available, you'll see that the revolutionaries here that were anti-crown were doing all of their actions with crown money and crown council. So you know where I'm going with this. Let me just give you the best part last. This guy, George Washington, who was touted as the first American president, you could look this up. He's actually the third or the fourth president of the United States government. But he's touted as the first because it's just easier for people to remember him that way. The main battle when the English landed in the early part of the war in Brooklyn, New York, it's called the Battle of Long Island. It was one of the coldest days in decades. The British basically chased the American forces led by George Washington around and got George Washington. They found him frozen solid. And he's actually, if anyone has the moxie to do it, there's a small memorial for this battle in Brooklyn Heights. Just go dig up that memorial and you'll see who's buried under there. But what's interesting is for morale, like you said, the influencers earlier, they got someone who looked like him and sounded like him. And they just threw a wig on him and said, this is George Washington. People knew him says, that's not George Washington, but they went along with it. The main problem with this George Washington that they pushed around for the next 15 years or so was he looked a lot like him, sounded a lot like him, but he didn't have any teeth. So they were panicking on how we're going to get teeth in this guy's mouth. Because if you look at history, there is no mention of George Washington losing all of his teeth overnight, right? So the interesting peripheral story about George Washington is why is it so important to get teeth in this guy's mouth? They were pulling teeth from slaves, wooden teeth, ivory teeth, whatever. It seemed like the entire focus, other than him being George Washington fighting the war, was getting teeth in his mouth so he could play off being the real George Washington. Anyway, sounds too bizarre. That's what makes it true. You see what I mean? Most people don't like to hear this side of history, but that's why I gave some of the details you could look up yourself.
Well, it's like the old saying goes, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. And I didn't. I just happened to piece it together. I've had a few people give me hints because they thought I was one of, quote unquote, those people that if they gave me the information, I would poo-poo it off the bat. I just said, let's listen to what has to be said and make do of it later.
Indeed. And we'll talk about that after the break, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is the Greek. We'll be right back after the break, folks.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about keeping your Luftwaffe aloft. It's the Finney Eastwood Show. And we're on republicbroadcasting.org. The call-in number is 512-248-8252 or 1-800-313-9443. My very special guest is the Greek. Welcome back, Greek.
Thank you, Vinny. Hey, you guys could talk about the vax here. I heard something mentioned on the break.
No, we can't.
Okay. I wasn't questioning ability. Maybe should we talk?
Oh, it is like, there's so much like kind of thing like you don't know. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, let's try like, a little bit. You want to try a little bit? I'll be easy.
It's like walking into a destroyed city. And you know that there's snipers in there, but you don't know where they are, you know?
Yeah, well, I go for the Carlos Castaneda Don Juan. He says, what would you do? He told the old medicine man, if you walk around and you feel the ebb and flow around you, and he says, what would you do if a high-powered sniper had a gun trained on your head through a scope and is ready to pull the trigger and he was a mile away? He says, I would never be in that situation, right? So to ponder that. But here... maybe we'll try a little and then I'll jump off. I have received every vaccine that has been designed to treat or cure disease. How many vaccines have I taken?
Zero.
That's right, because it is a social thing. And I'll give you an example without filling in the middle. Recently, I was with someone in public about a year ago, less than a year ago, let's say, and they had a table set up with nurses and whatever, people with clipboards to receive a vaccine. And one of the person that I was with goes up to the table and says, blah, 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 you shouldn't be doing this. It's blah, 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 blah. And the nurse and the person, the people that were with her made fun of him and said, oh, we have one of those anti-vaxxer nutcases here. And the people were laughing. I said, okay, wait a second. So I walk up to the nurse and I prominently speak loudly so everyone can hear me. I say, okay, so you're administering this particular ABC vaccine. Are you taking into account the body weight, age and blood type of each of the people that are going to receive this? And she's like, drops the clipboard, the syringes fall down, starts gathering everything up. We have to move somewhere else. Do you see the difference? There is no one size fits all. I have gone through, I've been looking at this for over 30 years, Vinny, and all of the actual scientific paperwork on it, like, for example, if I give you a technical document that's 900 pages long and the introduction states we're looking for the efficacy through experimentation and whatever, clinical trials to see how effective it is. Well, you quickly go to the conclusion. You go skim through. You don't even have to skim through 900 pages. You go to the conclusion. Read the conclusion. And if the conclusion says we have seen no outcome that it has any efficacy, do you have to read everything in between? Not at all, but it's good to have as a reference. What I found out is that all the trials that have ever been done on any type of injection always took into account the age, the body weight, and the blood type of the recipient versus one shot fits all or one shirt fits all, whatever, right? So if they're giving you a one size fits all, guess what it is? It's just like, I don't know, You want
a bio weapon?
Use whatever works. Yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, I'm just taking a stab
bullets
in the dark.
Are not made that way.
You know, I'm.
Yeah, but you. Yeah, do you see my point on this? It's so they say trust the science. It's completely corrupted. So from that point of view, here I implore anyone to do this. This is really basic. Very, very basic. Go online and research just the human body by going to the images and put in cross-section of human intestine, and you'll see a drawing. Cross-section of human lung tissue. A cross-section of human skin. And then, while you have that, do a split screen, and I want you to download a cross-section of a steel-belted car tire. Well, you'll see that in function, they're identical. Nothing passes through either one. They are designed to hold everything completely contained from the respective environments, interior environment, away from the exterior environment. So nothing ever passes through or absorbed. That's why I hear a lot of alternative people, well, this is absorbed by the body better. Oh my gosh. So now we're pressurized filter bags. Okay. So what actually is happening? It's all by induction. It's all by induction, which is actually in the scientific studies, right? Diseases are not contracted. They're contracted when you're in a doctor's office because he has a commercial license, so you're actually getting into a contract. It's contracted. But in scientific research, diseases are induced through induction. And what I mean by induction, it's the process of, you know, I've got this cordless toothbrush, and when I want to charge it, it goes into the charger pod, and there's no metal connection. It's just plastic on the bottom. It goes right into, it nests in there, and it charges. Another example of induction, other than the sun in our atmosphere, is you ever see those glass top induction ovens,
yeah,
where you have the pot of boiling water and you move the pot aside, put your hand right on the glass, it's not even right, and you put the pot right over it again, and what it starts to boil? That's the concept of induction, and that's how our bodies work. And it's amazing because there is no physical pass through in the skin, the intestines, the lungs. What happens is that all the material we take in as nutrition or air we breathe in the lungs dematerializes energetically and reappears on the inside of the body, no different than in Star Trek, the fictional show, the replicator worked. Now, think how empowering this would be if it was taught to us as children, that we know that we can dematerialize matter and have it rematerialize inside of our body, meaning it happens in our stomachs and intestines or in our lungs with air, rematerializes inside of our body. And this is how we work. This is how we, and the opposite is true. When you used enough of the energy and the material in the body, it dematerializes and materializes in the bladder and other places for elimination. Right? And this is shown, you can see this on your own. This sounds fantastical. And by the way, saying this to a large audience, well, right away, the initial reaction is this guy's crazy, or it doesn't make any sense because we're told the opposite. But you can see it with your own eyes. This is the world that I live in.
Reality.
Right, but it's this type of reality. Because think about it for a second. If you look at a cross-section of a human intestine and the cross-section of a car tire, and it looks identical in structure, nothing passes through. How are we receiving the materials into our body? There's only one way, because they state it scientifically. It's by induction. It's a non-contact means of transferring energy. Now, imagine we are, again, taught this as young children, and this is our mindset, and we know this is happening, and we could prove it. What kind of technology we would have, what kind of beneficial technologies we'd be using right now. Instead, we use this, whatever technology you want to call it, because they say we originally started our technology based on fire. There are other worlds that started the technology based on magnetism. So they're still with horse and carriage, but you go into their homes, they have this 1 foot or half quarter meter diameter globe in their house that heats and cools their room all year round, and it's not plugged into anything.
Mm.
That's the world that I live in, which, again, if I describe what I just did and can prove it, it sounds like I'm the one with the fantastical, a fictional reality, but it's the other way around.
Yeah, well, I think most things that tend to make sense are often just lies, and things that just appear like real crazy and like, I can't believe that's probably the truth, you know.
Yeah,
It's like Occam's razor in reverse, you know, the craziest, most uncomfortable, scariest thing that you hear as an option is probably the correct one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And when I hear Occam's razor, I always think of that analogy. It's like it's if you heard that it was normal to drink razor blade, you know, swallow razor blades, you know, people would attempt it as a normal thing. And I'm telling you, it shouldn't be normal, right? But, yeah, all of these things. Let's look, you know, the concept of reference materials are there. So we all have, you know, a starting point, you know, like a benchmark when you survey, where do you measure from? You know, and all this other stuff. You know, I think you might have heard me speak and hammer the concept of etymology. Most people, when they want to find out what a word means, they look it up in a dictionary, right? Well, let's stop for a second. You know, diction has to do with the way you pronounce something. That's why when you look up a word in a dictionary, it's a purely social artifact. The first thing they show you is this odd spelling of the word, how it should be spoken phonetically, and then the most popular meaning. You ever notice that in a dictionary? Mm. Where... that's what's popular, because they want all their subjects or slaves to be uniform, right? But if you look up etymology, that gives you the root meaning of the word, sometimes its origin in another language, or what it really should be used for. For example, the word nice. I can tell you what it means, really, but I tell us people, they kind of chuckle. But when what's funny, when they have one of those stupid rectangles, you know, I tell them to look it up on that. When people look up stuff on their own, it seems to have like about 70% more kick when they find it on their own, you know? Mm. It's real interesting. But if you look up the word nice in etymology, E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y, the definition of the word nice is foolish, stupid, senseless. And the rest, it goes on along that vein. Not what we mean when we say, have a nice day. Or are we really meaning that? Are we really using that spelling? You see, be careful what you say. Have you ever heard that we create things with our words? So a lot of religionists believe that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, think about it. Yeah. Now, typically, before we speak, shouldn't we think? So it's really the thought that creates the word, which creates the thing. So if you're thinking the word means nice and it doesn't, I think your thoughts are a little bit out of line here.
Mm.
It's one way to approach it.
Yeah, don't have a nice day. Have a great day.
Yeah, well, yeah, the free guy. Yeah, yeah. That's the term. You know, I think that's where the term NPC originated. I've been using for about two decades the term. I'll tell you how I came about the term before I tell you the term. How's that?
Okay.
All right. What do all humans have in common? Well, they take up space, physical space. They display space, don't they?
Yeah.
Right. And I said living humans, let's say. So if they're alive, they have body heat, right? So they're, by definition, space heaters. So that's why when you hear them complaining, it's like, oh, my cord is kinked. Don't step on my cord. Right. Or I'm unplugged. Or turn me down. Turn me up. Right. So this is kind of the pun or the fun I had with it before the NPCs came out of it. And I've had a lot of people that worked, let's say in public venues. I said, how was your day? And they would say, well, you know, I had a lot of space heaters come into the store today. And like, I kind of know what they're saying versus saying NPC, you know, very interesting.
Yeah. I think what's happening is a lot of people are incapable of their own independent thought because they've never been trained. And they've never seen any example of a real independent person. Like if you're born to parents who were like, just brown nosing slave scum, all right, just the worst of the worst, they're always watching TV, they're never spending any time with their kids, they're never actually raising them up to be something, right? They're just going along to get along, they're paying the bills and so on and so forth. They make sure you got food and everything, but they don't make sure you got love, they don't make sure that you got spirituality, they don't make sure that you've got your own thoughts in your heads, they don't make sure you got your own independence and your own will to live. But mm-hmm. when you go off from that, all the primary growth years of your life from 1 to 7 have already been taken up. And now you're operating under, like, what was it Dr. Bruce Lipton was talking about? 96% of your programmed behaviors are locked in by the age of 7. So
yep.
Are we talking about a population that is just too far gone? You know, and it's just a waste of time. And we're just looking for that that small percentage that is left that had parents who actually did some work on their children first.
Yep. A lot of it also, you might have left out that some people were raised in those conditions, but never accepted it for some quote-unquote spiritual reason. The black sheep of the family, let's say. And in my case, it might be the red spotted sheep or something. You see what I mean? How many times have you heard people being raised in that structure that you... By the way, what's worse? What did you call them? What's worse than a slave brown-nosed scum is the slaves to the slaves of the brown-nosed scum, right? So you see how it's like a fractal, you know? I would suggest that it's very... Whoever gave you that up till 7 years old is more correct than anyone can imagine, because those are the formative years. Typically, when your adult teeth come in, now you're pretty much set. It's kind of like the sidewalk concrete starting to get hard. You know, you can't put your name in it anymore, right? You measure that by the adult teeth. So like you said, 8, 9, by 10, usually the latecomers. That's why a lot of Rudolf Steiner's philosophy was don't teach mathematics and technical things until the adult teeth come in, because that crystalline structure in the teeth aids memory, by the way. Mm. A lot of esoteric stuff there. But yes, raising children is one thing that people have really not considered enough. And how can you consider it enough? Because it's even the parents' chance to do it over again. Right? What would they do? I mean, the amount of wisdom that can be imparted to a child is really infinite once the parent realizes that here's my chance to do my upbringing again in this person. And that's been tried, you know, but it's got to be done the right way, right? Think about it. If this was done, if every parent said, I'm going to raise this child better than I was raised, we would be in a Superman, Superwoman society right now.
But we ain't. You know, there's
the big butt. Yeah.
You know, there's only two things that you can guarantee about reality. It is what it is, and it isn't what it isn't. You know, and
no, it's not. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there who think that if they just believe strong enough, you know, it'll all come for it. Some savior will come out for them. It's like, dude, just look right in front of you. Yeah, what can you see? Well, stuff I've got to do. And are you doing it? No, I'm waiting for a savior. Okay, there's something inherently wrong with your approach to life, okay? Have you considered just shutting up for a minute and listening about something, maybe doing some introspection so that you can actually start looking at these things that are right in front of you that you're ignoring doing and start actually having a motivation to do something about them? You know, not occurred to you?
You know, here's the thing, Vinny. We're given all of it. All of the reference materials we're given are generally good. You know, and just because a history book seems like a bunch of bollocks or whatever, it doesn't say true history, so don't take offense. When you turn on that TV show called The News, are they saying these are the real events of today, or is it just called The News? It's a TV show called The News. It's just not something that, you know, basically it's what the contents are typically disclosed.
Yeah, I mean... News is an acronym for Notable Events, Weather, and Sport, NEWS. And
yeah, right.
Unfortunately, when people talk about the news, they're not really talking about the sport, are they? Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break.
Here at...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I'd like to also thank our sponsors for the show. Just before we get out of here, River of Lies, the New Zealand scam demic, available at riveroflies.co.nz. The number of sponsors and great contributors like G. Edward Griffin and James Corbett and a whole bunch of other great doctors from around the world that are contributing to this documentary. Go and check that out. As well as my wonderful sponsors, reopen.nz, a director of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. Go there and add your little freedom business today. As well as my fabulous sponsor, holdenhealthcare.com. David Holden been helping me out with his naturopathic expertise with my liver and adrenal issues and things of that nature. So I'm very, very grateful to that. You can accessholdenhealthcare.com right there, ladies and gentlemen, and he is one of the leading holistic health clinics in the country. And of course, this is a listener supported show, so please go to vinnyeastwood.com and click on the donate banner. And if you are a donor, you can request a guest to come on the show. You can have a private call with me if you want to just have a chat. You know, Vinny, I'm feeling really depressed and stuff like that. I want to unload on you. All right. And get Vinny's help with your media project or idea, and even get access to the Secret Donors Club on Facebook. And the rewards are down below on that donate page there. Now, Vinny and the Vendettas is in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. You might see all the intro and outro music that we're using for the show. Here is all music that I've made myself. They're all demo tracks, of course. We haven't properly produced them, and that's why we're in studio. So we're looking to get people to sponsor the band and become a Patreon. So go to Patreon and type in Vinny and the Vendettas and sponsor us today, and check out the archives, the latest and the MP3 archives at vinnyeastwood.com. Now, very special announcement. We've got a little guest in the studio here. We'll see if we can get him over here. Come here, little guy. Oh, here he is. Here's my little baby boy, little Alfie. Oh, he's got the hiccups right now, and they're very, very cute little hiccups, aren't they? Oh, boy. Daddy loves you. He's been feeding really well and gaining weight and sleeping really well. He's been such a good boy to Mummy and Daddy, aren't you, Papa? Daddy loves you. All right, now we're going to pass you back to Mummy, and here you go. There you go. All right, and now very special guest, The Greek. Welcome back, brother.
Oh, sure. Let's throw down a little bit of stuff that if people join Ocelli and The Greek, what they'll be getting. You know, there is a, you showed the little baby there. Congratulations. You know, you have energies that rise and energies that descend within the human body as well. So this is not the materialist point of view. For example, if someone has an ailment or something and finds a plant that cures or heals it, you give it to a materialist, what's the first thing they want to do? They want to crunch it up and find the active ingredient, don't they? And they negate all the other properties that manifested that plant. So here's an example. The human body, the left side of the body typically draws downward, and the right side of the body typically draws up. So when women are breastfeeding, I suggest alternating the breast. The reason why is because when the baby, if a woman is right-handed, she'll hold the baby under her left, and it will almost always feed on the left breast, which is the downward energy, which will give a strong body, strong bones, rapid growth. This is if she's right-handed, because, you know, she's holding the baby on her left and she's using her right hand to grab a towel and other things, right? So when the child is raised on the right breast, which is the uplifting energy, it'll be more spiritual, more ethereal, a little more mental capacity. So, just want to throw that out.
All right.
Maybe we'll have a private call.
Thank you very much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Go and check us out at vinnyeastwood.com, archives and all of that stuff on Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime. Thank you so much, Greek.
Take care.